So I pulled a fast one on you. We now have this stand for the Book of the Gospels in front of the Ambo. It took us 7 years to figure out how to do that. You all handle it very well, so as we kind of trained about for the last few months to remain standing, but the Book of the Gospels doesn't have to go over there to a stand anymore, but it'll be right there in front of the Ambo, and I think it looks beautiful right there. So thanks to Wayne Gold and Jimmy Patton for figuring out how it's done and then having it made for us, so you don't have to stand as long. Except for when the bishop comes, you still have to wait until he kisses the Book of the Gospel before we repose it. Our readings today all have something to do with sickness. Tomorrow, February the 11th, is actually, though it's not celebrated this year because it falls on a Sunday, the memorial of Our Lady of Lourdes. There have been many, many illnesses, diseases, and handicaps miraculously cured at the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes in southern France over almost two centuries. And Pope St. John Paul II designated tomorrow, February the 11th, as World Day of the Sick. He wrote in his decree instituting this day that it is a special time of prayer and sharing, of offering one's suffering for the good of the church, and of reminding us to see in our sick brother and sister the face of Christ, who by suffering, dying, and rising, achieved the salvation of humankind. In our first reading today from the book of Leviticus, we hear about the debilitating and isolating effects of illness, and in this case, leprosy. The conclusion of the passage tells us that the leprous person would have to dwell apart from the community, making his abode outside the camp. Such isolation from the community was the worst possible effect of leprosy, since life with other people is so important. Our catechism talks about such difficulties of illness when it says, "Illness and suffering have always been among the gravest problems confronted in human life. In illness, man experiences his powerlessness, his limitations, and his finitude. Every illness can make us glimpse death." Now, as you and I know, even much milder sicknesses than leprosy can distance us from other people and leave us feeling less than whole. Our recent experiences with COVID, for example, with its quarantine periods, have certainly highlighted that fact. We can feel anguish, be uncharacteristically self-absorbed. We can even revolt against God and blame Him when sickness removes us from our everyday lives and our normal activities. Illness is indeed a mystery, and we sometimes wonder why God would allow it to happen to the children He is supposed to love. Well, in our gospel reading today, we hear that God does want to heal us, and He is there for us. Jesus, as the Son of God sent into this world, says to a leper in this passage from St. Mark, "I do will it, be made clean." It's important to remember that Jesus came to heal the whole person. Physical sickness is only part of what ails us human beings. In fact, physical sickness is just a consequence of the spiritual sickness that originated with original sin, our separation from God that caused all of our other difficulties. You may recall that on another occasion in the Gospels, when Jesus heals a paralytic, He tells him that his sins are forgiven as He is enabling him to walk again. Christ was ultimately more interested in healing human souls than just our mortal bodies. For our bodies, He would go on to show us in His resurrection, will be raised in glory on the last day. I was actually teaching our RCIA class this past Thursday evening on the topic of the anointing of the sick. As you may know, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is joined together with the sacrament of penance or confession as the two healing sacraments that Jesus gave to His church. And our church's catechism, again, introduces its discussion of these two by saying the following: "The Lord Jesus Christ, physician of our souls and bodies, who forgave the sins of the paralytic and restored him to bodily health, has willed that his church continue in the power of the Holy Spirit, his work of healing and salvation, even among her own members. Then, in speaking about the anointing of the sick in particular, the Catechism goes on to say, by the sacred anointing of the sick and the prayer of the priests, the whole church commends those who are ill to the suffering and glorified Lord, that he may raise them up and save them. And indeed, she exhorts them to contribute to the good of the people of God by freely uniting themselves to the passion and death of Christ. There are two things I want to point out in that paragraph. They both have to do with the fact that the church is the communion of saints, that we are all in this together and we are all connected. St. Paul says in our second reading today from his first letter to the Corinthians that he tries to please everyone in every way, not seeking his own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved. We all do help one another in salvation. And so, firstly, when the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is administered, and this is true of the other sacraments as well, it is the whole church that is acting for the salvation of all. In the church, we always pray for the sick, in our intercessions here at Mass and at other times. And our mandate from Christ to heal the sick has been followed in all these centuries, as Catholic medical institutions and social services often have led the way in caring for our sick brothers and sisters. The second thing I want to point out from this paragraph is that the sick persons are encouraged and indeed exhorted to contribute to the good of the people of God by freely uniting themselves to the passion and death of Christ. Human illness, though we try to take care of ourselves to avoid it and do our best to cure it when it happens, it does have meaning and efficacy in God's great plan of salvation. Sick persons can and do contribute to the good of the people of God by uniting themselves in their sickness to the passion and death of Jesus. It is part and parcel of the mystery of Christianity, which we hold to be true, even though we can't fully explain it, that each person's suffering, when united to Christ, does help others. It is as true as transubstantiation, even though we can't see tangibly the reality of either of those. St. Paul says in our second reading today, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. We can even be sick, if we have to be, for the glory of God. And Christ is never so close as to one who suffers. Finally, one last thought. We are still in these 3 years of Eucharistic revival here in the church in the United States. As I've said, Jesus came to heal ultimately the sin of the world, of which physical illness is just a consequence. When we participate in the Eucharist, especially on Sundays and Saturday evenings, the Lord's Day, we contribute to the healing of the world from that which ails it most, which is its separation from God. So let us remember this evening how we cooperate with divine healing in this most sacred celebration, and may Christ's body and blood continue to cleanse our bodies and souls.